I'm Michelle Franzen. In Baltimore, recovery efforts continuing for the six construction workers presumed dead after that cargo ship crashed into the Key Bridge yesterday, causing it to collapse.
The transportation secretary says a rebuild of the bridge won't be quick, easy, or cheap. Pete Buttigieg tells White House correspondents that Maryland state officials have already made an emergency funding request.
We'll be processing that immediately to start getting them what they need.
It's not yet known how much it will cost to build a replacement bridge. That's still way off in the future. But President Biden has vowed the federal government will cover that cost. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
Talks between the U.S. and his Israeli delegation are back on. Israel's prime minister agreeing to a new date to discuss its military operations in Rafah. Tomorrow is sentencing day for Sam Bankman-Fried, the disgraced CEO of the cryptocurrency company FTX, was convicted of defrauding customers of $8 billion. Prosecutors are asking for up to 50 years in prison. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin and other large dairy-producing states are keeping an eye on reports of bird flu in dairy cows in Texas and Kansas. State veterinarian Darlene Conkle says milk from sick cows does not go into the food supply. Independent and third-party voters could play spoiler in Wisconsin in the presidential election. That's what political scientist Charles Franklin tells Wisconsin Eye.
Those folks are going to likely be late making up their minds, may or may not vote. And so in a very close election,
could turn
position to tilt the election in the fall.
Meanwhile, 20 elected officials around Wisconsin are urging Democrats to vote uninstructed in Tuesday's primary to protest President Biden's support of Israel's war in Gaza. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Some Amazon drivers are officially employees, not independent contractors, according to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. In a unanimous decision, the court said they should not have reviewed the case in the first place, upholding the ruling that drivers in the Amazon Flex program are part of the state's unemployment insurance system and are entitled to jobless pay if they are laid off. As a result of the upheld ruling, Amazon Logistics will likely have to pay an additional $200,000 or more in taxes. Duluth residents have started a new internet challenge to let billionaire Kathy Cargill know they don't need her anyway. Cargill recently called the Duluth community small-minded in a Wall Street Journal report after residents and Mayor Roger Reinhart questioned her intention in buying 20 properties in Park Point. After a comment about Cheerios in the report, Duluth residents have started the Duluth Cheerio Challenge, which aims to donate as many boxes of healthy cereal as possible to local food shelves. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
The Bucks lose in double overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks jumped out to an early lead, but somehow the Lakers came back to beat Milwaukee in five serve form, 128-124 in double overtime. Giannis Antetokounmpo at his locker after the loss.
Start of the game, we moved the ball really well side to side. I think in the last couple of minutes of the game, it was like one pass shot. In the lead, I think they did a good job just, you know, playing great defense, switching, having us play one-on-one.
So the Bucks now head to New Orleans to play the Pelicans tomorrow night. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Rockies 6-1 in their final game of spring training. Milwaukee actually finished above the 500 mark with a record of 16-14 in Cactus League action. They're off to New York to face the Mets tomorrow on opening day. Manager Pat Murphy on losing center fielder and leadoff man Garrett Mitchell to a broken left hand suffered over the weekend during batting practice.
Yeah, fracture in his hand. He's getting an opinion right now with the hand specialist.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Some snow showers continue this evening, mostly cloudy overnight. A little breezy at times, lows in the low teens. Staying breezy for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs in the mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds and warming up to the mid-40s for Friday.
Currently it's 26.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I love me some Drew Holiday. My favorite Buck. I love what he's doing. I just really, really wish it wasn't for the Boston Celtics. My loyalty is still more to Giannis. But like, when Drew scores a bucket still, I'm like, yeah.
I like to a former
Drew.
Lover.
I got a Drew Holiday jersey, a Bucks jersey, and I got an Aaron Jones Packers jersey. This is so why I'm a scoring former lover for both of those players.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Wednesday edition, a happier, happy hour. Now we're going to have some fun. You know, Rich was just commenting to me. Rich, our fine call screener. Rich, please keep it up. Lightly screening your calls. Rich said, you know, there's been some funny stuff that's happened on this radio in the last couple days. You guys make me laugh. And I'm glad someone finds our humorous.
Rich is easily
our humor humorous.
I'm so obviously patronizing.
Well, I appreciate that sort of loyalty out of the staff, Dom. That's the sort of loyalty I'm looking for.
Yes,
and
yes.
You know, the question, the precursor for working here at Devil Radio Incorporated was the 2020 election stolen? That's a question. I'd like to ask it of all the prospective hires. Was the 2020 election stolen? The presidential. Was it stolen? Did Donald Trump win or did Joe Biden win? Was it stolen? And if you answer that question the wrong way, Dom, you ain't getting the job. But I'm not the only one that apparently has made this part of a sort of a precursor for hiring. They're also doing it down at the Republican National Committee these days. That's part of their gig as well, Dom.
Yeah, but probably want a different answer.
Was the 2020 election stolen? Job interviews at the RNC take an unusual turn. Oh, I've had some unusual job interviews, Dom, let me tell you. Here is what's being reported. Those seeking employment at the Republican National Committee after the Donald Trump-backed purge. It's always a little scary when your employer has purged all the non-loyalists. Well, they purged the committee this month and have been asked in job interviews if they believe the 2020 election was stolen. Doesn't everybody? According to people familiar with the interviews, making the false claim a litmus test of sorts for hiring. How'd you like to go to any job interview and they ask you, you know, whatever the fiction is, but and you know what they want you to answer? And you want the job, sort of. You wouldn't have applied for the job if you didn't want the job. But, you know,
unless you're a deep state agent.
But don't you know you're lying? Don't you know you're going against your own conscience? Or must you be that stupid to work for the RNC?
Oh, come on. Now, Crudy, if you were and you have been in a hiring situation before,
once or twice.
Would you ask that question? And then would you expect a specific response? And if they did not provide that the correct quote-unquote response to you, of course the correct response is, hell no! Would you then mark that against them in their permanent file, perhaps not hire them because they held that thought?
I mean, it's an interesting way to really get at someone's character, right? It's an interesting way. And if I were hiring a senior level executive and I had once or twice the opportunity to be in on those hiring confabs, you know, it would be interesting to see how someone thought on those terms, because yeah. That is sort of determinant. If you think the 2020 election is stolen, I don't care if you're a plumber, a candlestick maker, a talk radio host, a senior executive in a corporation, it affects your way of life. It affects how you think or don't in some cases.
It demonstrates your judgment, right? Your perhaps character. I think it's a fairly important, you know, concept to get to the point. Now, of course, the RNC probably, since it's Trump, they want you to say, hell yes, it was stolen and we're going to get it back or something along those lines. But is it a fair question?
How long? I mean, I could understand if, you know, in the face of Trump claiming he had been rigged and, you know, there were unresolved court issues. And let's say November of 2020, maybe early December 2020. You know, if that was your attitude, I would disagree with you wholeheartedly, supported by evidence. But, you know, I would wait for you to make up your mind. But if we're still asking this question in 2024, back to the reporting at the Washington Post. In recent days, Trump advisors have quizzed multiple employees who had worked in key 2024 states and who are reapplying for their jobs because, you know, they were purged about their views on the last presidential election, according to people who spoke on the condition of anonymity to describe private interviews and discussions. I just blurt those things out here on the radio, Dom. Don't ever tell me anything and expect anonymity.
Fair enough.
Interviews have been conducted mostly virtually as the applicants are based in key swing states. I think they're interviewing Wisconsinites right now, Dom, gearing up for the 20. Are we running 20 or 2024 at this point? Because they're still relitigating 2020 constantly. Right. Here's the question, Dom. Was the 2020 election stolen? One prospective employee recalled being asked in a room with two top Trump advisors. Later, they'll be described as coffee boys, I'm sure, Dom. The query about the 2020 election started some of the potential employees who viewed it as questioning their loyalty to Trump. And as an unusual job interview question, according to the people familiar with interviews, I've been to a few interviews, Dom. I have not utilized this tact before, Rich, but now I'm going to do it every time. A group of senior Trump advisors has been in the RNC building in recent days conducting the interviews, you know, post-purge them. And the questions about the 2020 election were open-ended to people familiar with the questioning said. But if you say the election wasn't stolen, do you really think you're going to get hired? Asked one former RNC employee. Are you going to get hired if you don't answer the prerequisite loyalty question properly? But I mean, by answering, you're answering with a fictitious answer, which, you know, from my hiring practices would undermine your candidacy, but to them makes you just the right sort of moron to take the job.
For you, it would undermine the candidacy because you value honesty over loyalty. See, that's your biggest mistake. If someone's willing to lie for you, that's who you want, you know, in the foxhole with you, I guess.
Well, you could tell me I look sexy in anything, Dom, and I would appreciate that loyalty. It would be a win-win, but no, I do appreciate honesty. You know, I tried to...
More than loyalty?
Yes. Sadly, more than loyalty. I'd rather tell you the truth than have you be my friend. And, you know, that's why at some point all things come to an end, Dom.
At some point, Crudy.
Not today, Aaron, perhaps, but at some point, our friendship will end. It'll be something you said.
And you'll be all butthurt about it.
Oh, absolutely. Forever.
844-967-2789. Crudy holds a grudge forever. Well, I mean, you remember things forever. You might, you know, it might, you know, wane over time.
No, there's full-fledged grudges going on all the time in my brain.
Right now, as we speak, I mean, how do you find the space for more grudges? I mean, isn't there like a finite amount of grudginess you can have in you? But you seem to expand the universe, man. It's amazing.
I have a beautiful mind in that regard for grudges. Like, I have a whole board at home with all the grudges I hold and all the lines drawn, you know, the strings and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Just so it doesn't occupy all of my attention while I'm on the radio with you. Because, you know, if I had one grudge in particular.
Let me get back to it. RNC and Trump spokeswoman Danielle Alvarez said this in a statement. Candidates who worked on the front line in battleground states or are currently in states where fraud allegations have been prevalent were asked about their work experience. We want experienced staff with meaningful views on how elections are won and lost.
Meaningful.
And real experience-based opinions about what happens in the trenches.
So in the trenches, what she's saying is we believe that the other side's stealing elections. And wouldn't that in some way, you know, help their rationalization when they want to steal an election, Dom?
Oh, certainly. That's why you want to have a liar on your back instead of someone who tells the truth. Biden's reelection campaign on Wednesday sharply criticized the RNC's practice of asking prospective employees whether the 2020 election was stolen. Here's a quote from Amar Moussa. In Donald Trump's America, elections are only fair when he wins and nothing is off the table to stay in power, including violence like on January 6th and being a dictator on day one. And now Donald Trump is demanding fealty to his extreme anti-democratic beliefs to be part of his Republican Party. RNC staffers were told en masse in early March that they were being let go, but could reapply for their jobs. And the application process has included an interview with the Trump advisors. Those advisors this week are vetting former employees and some laid off employees whose last day is Friday to decide how many can either return or stay with the RNC. Doug Hay, a longtime GOP strategist who worked in communications as communications director at the RNC, so the party had long expected staffers to mimic the positions of its presidential candidates. Oh, great. Now they're going to be walking around grabbing women by the and tip-tacking up, huh? You were there for that specific reason, to back the candidate up and go along with the worldview. Yeah, I mean, you imagine working for a guy like that? I mean, everybody that works for him, who eventually leaves, is derided, insulted, minimized by Donald Trump. He expects loyalty from everybody, but provides loyalty to no one.
Well, even Doug Hay does have a but nominees other than Trump wouldn't make such outlandish claims, he said, or put employees in such an uncomfortable spot. The problem with Trumpism is that despite bringing in very smart, very capable people, if you want to play Trump's game, you have to back him up on everything he says. Claims about the election being stolen is kind of the last frontier of that. Yeah, that's a big butt.
Yeah, star date 2024, people. Are you kidding me? No, you don't want to work for a narcissist like that. It always, always ends badly.
I don't want to join a cult. Come back, Devil's Advocates. The only cult you're allowed to join, 844-96-PARTY. I barely keep back.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
These two referendum that you will see on your April 2nd ballot. What is it that Republicans are after here? You cut funding for local elections. You restrict the hours. You restrict early voting. You intimidate and scare election workers so droves of them are quitting. I wonder where all of this is heading.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join this conversation on the lines at 844-967-2789. If you're not into dialing the phone, you can just download the Civic Media app. Super cool. Take the Devils with you everywhere you go. Click a button to call or to text. Or again, your rotary dial, 844-967-2789.
Rotary dial, you're so funny. You know, you used to have to remember people's phone numbers, though.
It's been a while, ma'am.
I
know you so long, I do know your cell phone.
That's well, how long we've known. If I cared more about our friendship, I'd know yours. No, I bet you I could. I think I could probably recall. I won't do it now. I won't dox you on the air.
Okay. It's really hard to find
out. Wait till after midnight to call Dom's cell phone. His wife loves that. Dom... Well, we've been busy trying to, you know, prepare for the greatest radio show ever. Donald Trump's been out there breaking his gag orders. And I saw some of the coverage. I'd like to, you know, go to my favorite lefty aggregator, the Raw story. Trump skirts gag order with repeat attack on daughter of judge in the hush money case. Going after the daughter of the judge when the guy's about to go to criminal trial and he's under a gag order. And I've seen, although, you know, you can't rely upon every source, theoretically, he could get his ass thrown in jail. This is a criminal trial.
Yes, and it is a limited gag order, and I'm not clear, I haven't read this particular article, but it was my impression the daughter was not included.
Well, Tom, what a fine, upstanding thing to do. If I ever go after somebody's daughter, I expect complete loyalty. You just lie and say, yeah, that's our right.
Uh-huh. That's totally fine and logical and exactly what we expect presidential candidates to do.
Dominic, Donald Trump unloaded a social media attack on New York State Supreme Court Judge Juan Merchant, who is overseeing a hush money case, I call it voter deception case, against the former president and his daughter Tuesday. Meaning there's a little comma there. Trump unloaded on the judge and his daughter Tuesday, a day after the judge slapped him with a gag order. Trump doesn't like gag orders, Tom. Freedom of speech! After Merchant put the limited order in place, Trump called it unconstitutional. He capitalized the C, in case you didn't know how to spell constitution, on his Truthy social platform. Judge Juan Merchant, who is suffering from acute case of derangement syndrome, has now issued another illegal, un-American, unconstitutional order as he continues to try and take away my rights, Trump complained. This judge, by issuing a vicious gag order, is wrongfully attempting to deprive me of my First Amendment right to speak out against the weaponization of law enforcement, including the fact that crooked Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, and their hacks and thugs are tracking and following me across the country, obsessively trying to persecute me. Well, everyone knows I have done nothing wrong. And then Trump singled out Merchant's daughter for posting a picture of me behind bars. So let me get this straight. A judge's daughter is allowed to post pictures of her dream of putting me in jail. The Manhattan DA is able to say whatever lies he wants about me. And the judge can violate our laws and constitution at every turn, but I am not allowed to talk about the attacks against me and the lunatics trying to destroy my life and prevent me from winning the 2024 presidential election, which I am dominating. He's dominating, Dom. I'm done with the Trump.
All right, I'll jump in here. Merchant's gag order included the family members of any council or staff member, but excluded the judge and New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg. It was put in place just hours after Trump launched into an earlier attack on the judge and his daughter on Monday, calling them country-destroying scoundrels. Of course, we talk about the case. The legend paid $130,000, yada, yada, yada. Cohen admitted to arranging the thing. We know that, yada, 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 yada. So same stuff, more of that. But again, I'm not clear. I'm assuming that the judge is not part of that order. And I would imagine if his daughter was, the judge would have something more to say about that, if not today, very soon. 844-967-2789.
Well, Dom, I see another headline. Similar, Trump agitates the hush money judge as he seeks to stave off his New York trial. Do you think the judge is agitated that Trump is going after his daughter? I would be. Former President Trump is pulling out all the stops to stave off the start of his first criminal trial, but the New York judge overseeing the case, my reporting here from the Hill, Dom, is increasingly appearing to lose his patience in the matter. Judge Juan Merchant just this week refused to sideline the hush money case over alleged discovery violations, issued a gag order to the former president, and even threatened his lawyers with criminal contempt, which all came in the form of separate court rulings. The contentious dynamic was also on display in the courtroom Monday, along with other written filings with the judge on multiple occasions, accusing Trump's team of attempting to circumvent the court's ruling and question their lack of evidence. It has left Trump's lawyers with a waiting list of options. Yeah. A waiting list of options, Dom. That's never
good. You can always run. You can run.
To postpone the April 15th trial date, though they're still pressing ahead with multiple pending motions to do so, despite the judge's irritation. Defendant, either directly or through counsel, has repeatedly stated publicly that the defense goal is to delay these proceedings, if possible, past the 2024 presidential. Merchant wrote on Tuesday, noting the Trump legal team strategy. Is that a strategy? Delay! Keep him out of court! Delay! On Monday, Trump walked into Merchant's courtroom hoping to receive a major delay on the dismissal or the dismissal of all charges. You know, how's it feel to want? Due to thousands of pages of documents being newly turned over to parties by federal prosecutors, even Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office, which had long resisted Trump's delay efforts, consented to the 30-day postponement. Merchant refused to go that far. Anyways, Dom. Merchant getting a little irritated.
He did punt it on the schedule by 3 weeks. At the hearing, the judge went on to clobber Trump attorney Todd Blanche over his allegations that the case should be further delayed and tossed entirely because of the new documents revealed discovery violations. The judge said this: "You're literally accusing the Manhattan DA's office and the people assigned to this case of prosecutorial misconduct and trying to make me complicit in it. And you don't have a single cite to support that position? ? Leaning back in his chair, Trump spoke little as he stared at his lawyer and the judge during the back and forth. After a break, his mood visibly improved upon hearing a separate court reduced his bond for his massive civil fraud judgment, providing Trump a lifeline to avoid having his assets seized. But minutes later, Michonne made any hope Trump felt short-lived. As the judge handed down his ruling, keeping the April 15 hush money trial date, the former president fidgeted in his chair. He showed visible frustration as he walked out the courtroom more quickly than usual, his usual slow trot, to head to the cameras. They're dying to get this thing started. The judge cannot go faster. He wants to get it started so badly, and there's tremendous corruption." I mean, it's more the same, right? I mean, this has been going on and on and on. But, well, the options are waning.
Dom, if I attack a judge,
you can't get an extension on the trial. It's not taxes, Trump.
If I can't get a little bit of backup, if I want to insult a judge, his daughter, the DA, the process, you, I expect complete and utter loyalty. It's right on the job application. Come back. More Devils. I'm drunk on a plane.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden and Donald Trump are neck and neck in Wisconsin in the latest Bloomberg News Morning Consult poll. 46% of registered Wisconsin voters back Biden, while 45% support Trump. Last month, Trump had a four-point lead. He'll campaign in Green Bay Tuesday. President Biden's campaign co-chairman is in La Crosse and Wausau today talking about boosting the economy with infrastructure projects.
Presidents for 50 years talked about doing it. Nobody could do it, but the president did at $1.2 trillion because those are the things that are creating jobs for high-paying union workers that are transforming communities.
Mitch Landrieu spearheaded the president's infrastructure plan. He met with mayors in Madison, Milwaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. City of Duluth officials are warning residents that they will soon be paying more for water. According to a Northern News Now report, the cost of water will rise by just over 9% each year for the next 4 years, resulting in each resident paying an average of nearly $13 per billing period as opposed to $4.50 they pay now. City officials say that price hikes are necessary for infrastructure upkeep, particularly at the Lakewood Water Treatment Plant. Utility officials have a number of projects planned. The identities of the suspect and victim of a Duluth homicide have been revealed. 25-year-old Dale Howard was arrested and charged with second-degree murder after allegedly killing his girlfriend, 27-year-old Alyssa Volan. According to the Duluth Police Department, neighbors heard Volan crying in Howard's apartment, and when police arrived, they found Volan dead with Howard in the bedroom of the apartment. Howard allegedly also violated a domestic abuse no-contact order with Volan that was issued on March 12th. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
For the longest time, it was hard for me to even get out of the house, much less do a backside 180. It took me a bit to understand what was going on, but eventually I learned I had anxiety. Now I'm getting help for it and feeling so much better. Sure, some days are better than others, but the whole thing about getting out of the house, that's not really an issue anymore.
Mental health care is working. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. If rumored new 007 Aaron Taylor Johnson does accept the role of James Bond, the New York Post reports he will have the support of 84-year-old former Bond portrayer George Lazenby on one condition, and that is that Johnson do the character justice, like Lazenby did in his one Bond film. Lazenby was James Bond in 1969's On Her Majesty's Service. For those of you headed to Google like I did, Lazenby is spelled L-A-Z-E-N-B-Y. The Terminator has a pacemaker. Us Weekly reports former California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger was given the implant due to 3 open-heart surgeries. Arnold talked about it in his podcast, Arnold's Pump Club, which, by the way, is a great podcast name, whether the subject is lifting weights or surgeries involving the heart. The 76-year-old bodybuilder was told it's pronounced pacemaker. He responded with, "That's what I said, pacemaker." For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some snow showers continue this evening, mostly cloudy overnight, a little breezy at times, lows in the low teens. Staying breezy for tomorrow with a partly sunny sky, highs in the mid-30s. A mix of sun and clouds and warming up to the mid-40s for Friday.
Currently, it's 26.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
This is National Let's Laugh Day. I think laughter is truly the best medicine. What makes you laugh the hardest? My family members, my kids are funny. My dad makes me laugh. My wife makes me laugh. Conrad makes me laugh. I think one of the most important things that we can do in life is laugh. Personally, comedy's gotten me through some very tough times. It's great therapy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Wednesday edition of Happier Happy Hour. Dom, there is a point of parliamentary procedure. I have been called a liar on the text line.
What?
Apparently the announcer says charged, never convicted. And trash talking lawyer Jeff from Shorewood, who's a frequent flyer on the text line, puts out there charged but never convicted. I haven't heard anything about Dom ever being convicted, but I've heard about Crudy admit to a conviction for overturning a police car. It was a municipal car, Jeff. Just saying, Dom is the only advocate who never lied to us. Is that true, Dom?
Convicted of what exactly?
Charged and convicted of a criminal offense in the state of Wisconsin.
No, Dom. Never.
You pled it down.
Misdemeanor, baby. Come on.
That's still a criminal offense. If it's a misdemeanor, it's criminal.
No. Oh, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. It was, QP of weed back in the brickweed bank 20 years ago. What are you going to do?
And sadly, you were driving my car.
I blame you, man. Why are you filling the car with that paraphernalia, the contraband, Crudy?
If only that were true, because within a week I had lost my job trying to replenish your supply. Apparently the cops hadn't given it back. So Dom's like, hey man, help a brother out.
Yeah, man.
And I got caught in a company car with a overnight bag with Dom's cannabis.
With freedom.
Dominic. Anyways, good times.
Great memories.
You got a misdemeanor charged. And I got fired over it. But Jeff, just for the record, charged and convicted, baby.
Oh,
both the panelists.
Who wrote that?
I don't know.
But that was actually more in the line of, within our radio lives. Because, of course, we were both arrested and cited down at the Wisconsin Capitol.
And vindicated.
Absolutely 100% vindicated. Both. So I think that was
in the state and federal courts.
Yes. I think that was more the line of thought.
It was a figuratively, we've been charged and never convicted, but literally, we've both been charged and convicted, just for the record, Jeff. Don't act like you've never been arrested, sir.
Come on. Misdemeanor possession. That's not even a crime anymore, is it?
Well, let's talk about crimes, political crimes, if you will, Dom. Again, my source, the raw story, the receipts. Lev Parnas is dropping the receipts, and new text allegedly show Devin Nunes' aide organizing Biden disinformation plot. Well, let's see who's implicated today, Dom. Former Rudy Giuliani associate Lev Parnas released what he claims to be text showing an aide to former rep Devin Nunes. And what's Devin Nunes' current job, Dom? Do you recall what he's doing now?
He's over at the Truthy Social, heading up the Trump social media site.
Well, he's the CEO over there, Dom. He's kind of a big deal, I hear.
Yeah, billions of dollars in market value, although $3 billion in revenue.
When he's not suing sardonic Twitter fans like Devin Nunes' cow.
I'm going to sue you.
Anyways, Devin Nunes's aide coordinated with Trump allies how to spread the Biden-Ukraine conspiracy theories. Parnas, who has been slowly rolling out his correspondence with figures in Trump world, was part of Giuliani's effort to push the idea that Biden sought to oust a Ukrainian prosecutor before his son's business holdings could be investigated, which has been repeatedly debunked. Here's a quote. Devin Nunes, with his dark aide Derek Harvey, coordinated with John Solomon, Victoria Townsig, and Rudy Giuliani how to disseminate the disinformation they sent me to go get on Hunter and Joe Biden, Parnas posted on the Twitter, Dom, teasing that there could be more to come. More to come? The text show Parnas speaking with Harvey, who told him that right-wing reporter John Solomon, and he isn't particularly... I don't like this guy.
No.
He's like a pathological liar for the right. And he used to have some journalistic chops, but he sold his soul. back to the John Solomon needs to get me the material, and they needed to set up a Skype call with your four people. He later told Parnas that he needed to prep a staff lawyer. The idea that Biden and his son arranged a bribery or extortion scheme was the basis of former President Donald Trump's attempt to extort Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky, which led to his first impeachment trial. I seem to recall, Dom.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
It has also been the basis for the GOP's effort to impeach Biden this year, although reports indicate House Republicans are coming to grips with the idea that they cannot muster, what do they call it, Dom? The evidence to do so.
Oh, right. You generally need that. Not if you're a liar like Trump or Solomon or Jeffrey Clark.
After Lev Parnas put stay tuned, more to come, he also hashtagged it. Lev remembers hashtag shadow diplomacy.
Lev 844-967-2789. Jeffrey Clark, that former Justice Department, he's been on not a trial. They're going after his law license, right? He's literally talking, and there's been testimony. Pat Philbin, I believe, was yesterday brought up some of the issues, and Clark was on there today, and Jeffrey Clark literally today, trying to distinguish who he was working for at the time, and he essentially, I don't want to speak out of turn, so let me just get to this, but. This goes back, now we're seeing, the receipts, Crudy, of what the effort was. It was a multi-pronged effort. Certainly Lev Parnas was part of it. Let's not forget, didn't he also, one of the things he was convicted of was for funneling, foreign money into the campaign?
That's true.
Let's not forget about that. You think he's the only one who's ever done this? I don't think so. But again, according to Raw Story, this is from today. Former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark Wednesday asserted that his client was Donald Trump when he tried to overturn the 2020 presidential election from within. His client was Donald Trump. He worked for the Department of Justice. Sir, that means you work for the American citizens. But I digress. At a disciplinary hearing before the D.C. bar, Committeewoman Patricia Matthews noted that Clark had repeatedly cited attorney-client privilege in refusing to answer questions. A quote, Mr. Clark, you asserted a number of times attorney-client privilege. For whom were you the attorney? For President Trump, the head of the executive branch, the sole head, the unitary head of Article 2, the executive branch of the United States government, Clark replied. At that point, Clark's attorney, Harry McDougald, urged his client to use the Fifth Amendment protection against self-incrimination. What? I respectfully request my client to invoke questions about the basis for attorney-client privilege because those answers would be intimidating to them as well. So respectfully, I would ask him to invoke. Matthews, the committee woman, then asked the question again, and Clark followed his attorney's advice. And here's what Clark said. So I would respond to that by invoking the same grouping of privileges, with all due respect, the Fifth Amendment at this time, the executive privilege, the law enforcement privilege, the deliberative process privilege, and the attorney-client privilege, Clark said. Legal expert Mercy Wheeler said Clark's answer was a problem for Trump and himself. That seems to pose a problem for both of them, she observed, and law professor Anthony Michael Kreese agreed. Either Jeff Clark doesn't understand how attorney-client privilege works at the DOJ, or he was moonlighting as Trump's personal attorney outside the scope of his office and not in furtherance of any official acts, but wielding the color of office for campaign purposes. And NBC's Ryan Riley, are you Clark? I'd come up with the wrong answer, and I referred to this earlier.
You serious, Clark?
Correct answer here for a former Justice Department. Who are you working for? Your client is the United States of America, Riley noted.
Dom, this action, this is the D.C., Washington, D.C., District of Columbia, Bar Office of Disciplinary Counsel. That is who is prosecuting him, basically trying to revoke his law license. And I've got Politico's more comprehensive reporting here, and just a little I'd like to share, Dom.
All right, lay it on me.
Hamilton Fox, the lead investigator, again, the D.C. Bar, contemplating Clark's law license, said Clark's efforts amounted to a coup attempt within the Department of Justice aimed at taking out the sitting leadership in order to effectuate a plan that would have thrown the 2020 election into even further disarray. Clark had unauthorized talks with Trump. Now, he's not supposed to, Dom. You know, he works at the Department of Justice. The executive is not supposed to have these conversations directly with him. Anyways, Clark had unauthorized talks with Trump, violating DOJ policies against White House contacts, and then sought to outflank then acting Attorney General Jeff Rosen and his deputy, Richard Donahue, by telling them he planned to accept an offer from Trump to take over the department unless they agreed to send his proposed letter to Georgia. And the showdown, which had been well documented by the January 6th Select Committee and the prosecutors in Georgia, led to an Oval Office confrontation on January 3rd of 2021, in which Trump ultimately backed down from his plans to elevate Clark amid a mass resignation threat by the top DOJ and White House officials. That'd have been a hell of a Saturday night massacre, Dom. Clark has been criminally charged by Georgia prosecutors in his role in Trump's effort to reverse the outcome of the election, and he was identified as a co-conspirator in special counsel's Jack Smith's Washington, D.C. case against Trump. Now, I don't think that bodes well for this three-judge panel, who aren't really going to buy into this sort of MAGA world, we've got immunity over everything. I don't think they're going to believe that. These are real legal professionals.
Here's the cliff notes.
Yes, sir.
Jeffrey Clark, former DOJ official who Trump threatened or offered to take over the DOJ in the last days of the election, right? Trying to overturn it. That's part of the plot, right? That's part of the plot. That guy, in a licensing hearing essentially today, pled the fifth. He's a Department of Justice official, and he's pleading the fifth. That's all you need to know.
Dominic, what about the others? And we'll get to your callers, folks. Hold on tight, 844-967-2789. Well, there's John Eastman, you know, all the Trump lawyers. While he was one of the architects of Trump's bid to subvert the 2020 election, he is expected to face disbarment. The ruling was supposed to come today, Dom. Someone needs to Google that. When a California judge issues her proposed punishment for alleged violations of professional conduct. Now, that was the judge that said this is probably criminal conduct, was it not? Or am I misrepresenting the many different tribulations of the Trump attorneys? So now, Rudy Giuliani has similarly had his law license suspended in both New York and Washington, D.C. It's going to make it hard to earn this side of cameo, Dom. And what other attorneys involved in failed legal efforts to overturn election results in 2020 have also faced disciplinary charges, some of which are still pending. Some are still pending, Dom. Many are still pending. You know, the Sidney Powells. So many, many Trump attorneys. So few law licenses between them anymore. It's going to be hard for them to earn a living. And the Kenneth Cheeseborough, of course, he's in that
mix. Making attorneys get... attorneys.
When is someone going to question Jim Troupas's law license?
They knew what they were getting into. And if the worst that happens is they get their law license revoked, they should be thanking their lucky stars. These folks should be in jail. They tried to overturn the election, people. And this is a disciplinary hearing? Where's the criminal charges? Let's roll.
And what about Jim Troupas?
Who's Jim Troupas?
At least take his law license. I guess we'll never know. Come back, more Devils, 844-967-2789. Sort of an inside joke. If you get it, you get it.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
It's time to ride into spring by listening to this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday at 7, 10, 1, and 3 for your chance to win a Chula Vista getaway in this statewide contest. Plus, every contest entry is in to win one of two grand prizes that include new bicycles, outdoor patio furniture, and a portable smoothie bullet blender with a total value of over $1,000. Get ready to ride into spring. Civic Media, hometown radio, refreshed.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And thank you for listening to The Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. We'll get to you, 844-967-2789.
More text line chastisement directed at me. Crudy, if progressive radio has so much influence in Wisconsin, why is Joe Biden leading DJT, a.k.a. the Tangerine Tyrant, a.k.a. Dolt 45, a.k.a. Orange Porn, a.k.a. the Cheeto Messiah, by only 1% in the most recent poll? Joe Biden should be ahead by 25 percentage points or more. Get cracking, Devil Radio. And, you know, by extension, he does shout out Civic Media as well. And then here's the important part. P.S. Joe Lieberman was Al Gore's VP choice in 2000. Where were you to back up my memory lapse today, Dom? If I don't remember, man, nobody remembers around here.
I mean, back in those days, man, I was still in my head down. I wasn't paying attention, and I'd have to look it up.
So Steady Eddie says, how quickly they forget. Crudy, instead of fussing over your wardrobe, maybe take 2 minutes planning on what you're going to say on CNN. Yeah. And then he says, you're going to be beautiful. And if you can't be beautiful, at least be coherent. Well, thank you, Steady Eddie.
What I'll time is, to be coherent. Is this supposed to go down?
On Monday, the interview with CNN? Yeah,
like late morning, afternoon?
2 p.m. prior to the show. 2 p.m. Yeah, so okay, I'll just helicopter in like I do, and CNN will set up here in the studio, and I'll give them a little time. Apparently suspenders, the recommended wear. I'll have to look and see if I
the older you get, Crudy, you kind of lost your ass a little bit, man. You gotta start doing some squats or some lunges or something, but you know, they really help keep the pants up if you don't have any backside to, you know, it's physics, so just don't worry about it, just get the suspenders.
Oh, you are a tremendous ass, Dom. I would just say your pants should never fall down. Here's one more, Rico from Rock County. Crudy, I've got the perfect CNN dress. Go as the Ocean Spray Cranberry guy, complete with the waders.
Yeah.
That's how I dress for the show. Here, someone asked, what is the statute of limitations on an overturned cop car at Coon Creek? Just asking. I was already charged and convicted. What are you talking about? Technically pled no contest, but I've done my time. I've paid my debt to society.
I mean, did you really, though?
No, not really. The financial debt, I absolutely did. The day jail.
Community service.
That wasn't so much. The community service, I did not actually fulfill.
Oh, and we're doing it now.
And through strange twist of fate, my probation officer got cancer, and I didn't see her for almost 2 years. And my whole probationary period was like 2 years. And she literally had me backdate like 19 months worth of, have you broken the law? Not this month.
No, of course not.
Never.
No, I've learned my lesson.
Say hi to my friend, Dominic. 844-967-2789. Apparently he recently confessed to his conviction on the airwaves. You never knew, did you, people, till today. George from Oak Park. Welcome, sir. You don't have to confess to anything, but What do you got for us?
Hey, George.
Okay. All right, guys. I haven't been listening through the whole show. I just tuned in. And I don't know if the devil's advocate touched on that Rona McDaniel story much.
We did yesterday, you know, some, that, George. Yeah. What's your feeling about it? Should she have been hired and then immediately fired? And will she get a big severance? And does that make NBC bad? That's what all the righties want to tell you today. George, what's your thought?
You know, the Democratic Party and the liberals, they don't think things through. And my take on it is that NBC's management made the mistake, presumably, of not giving an advance notice to their media types that, oh, you know, we're thinking of hiring Rona and Ron out. And then
George, if they hired Dan O'Donnell around here, who is a righty talk show host in the state of Wisconsin, if they hired him and didn't tell the rest, he's a paid contributor, there'd be a mutiny here at the palace, I suspect, George. I could see how that would happen. But how do you conflate the NBC with the DNC? They're separate institutions, sir.
Well, okay. You know, because, you know, the manager over there at NBC, I just think didn't think things through. Instead of just dumping Rona over there on the staff right away, he should have given them an advance notice. Now, here's the reason why I think Rona should have stayed on. First, the analogy is this. Let's say during World War II.
George, you lost me. That's too far to go back to make a case for keeping Rona McDaniel. A, I don't think it was her choice. You know what I mean? They said, it's not us, it's you, Rona. You're leaving. And so therefore, I don't think she really had any way that she could have changed this outcome. I personally, if I were the management at BC, you know, you made a bad choice. But once you fired her and she's under contract, I'd make her come out for public floggings. I'd put her in the shackles.
But no
up there
wants
on the NBC.
I mean, she doesn't have credibility. I think, and George, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
She could be at the dunk booth at the county fair on behalf of NBC.
Charlie Sykes, former king of Wisconsin conservative talk radio, responsible for people like, you know, Scott Walker.
I don't like to see him on the MSNBC either.
What's that?
I don't like seeing him on the MSNBC either.
Right. But my point to George is there are conservatives, and I'm not a fan of Charlie. I think he brought us a lot of what we're dealing with right now were because of things that he did and how he acted and the platform he provided for some of those conservative folks. But you know what, George? He's on MSNBC as a conservative contributor these days. It's not that there are not conservative voices available to talk on the different platforms, NBC, MSNBC, go on and on and on. This one in particular, I mean, think about the times we are in. She's out there as what, either an unindicted co-conspirator, certainly part of helping with the false elector scheme, George.
In Michigan, she did.
Democracy. You know, this matters to a lot of people. It's not a matter of whether or not the tax rate should be 18 or 30%. It's about whether or not the executive can use the powers of the government to overturn an election that they lost with the help of the RNC chair and former NBC contributor Rona McDaniel.
If she wants that severance package, man, she's got to be in the dunk tank at the company Christmas party. Right? I mean, then don't you think by the end of the Christmas party.
Earn it, baby. Right.
Open bar and a Rona McDaniel dunk tank. And suddenly the executives at NBC, they're heroes.
They're famous, baby.
Thank you to our fine guest. He's a hero, Dr. Harvey Kay. Don't forget, Mark Pocan joins the fine show tomorrow at 4. You better tune in. Starting at 3, though.
Thanks, Rich.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Thursday morning on the Earl Ingram Show. Join me for In the Pharmacy with Dr. Omar, only on Civic Media.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Sam Neill talked about being at the Jurassic Park premiere in London with his 10-year-old son and sitting next to Princess Diana. Apparently, Sam Neill's son had really bad gas. Through the whole premiere, his biggest fear was that Princess Di thought it was him, and he didn't say anything. He did not out his son. I think that's so cool.
That's a great dad right there.
That's a great dad.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the death of Joseph Lieberman. I'm Dave Packer. Former Senator Joe Lieberman